Welcome to the I Love Running podcast. I'm Stefan.
And I'm Jenna.
From Lungile Health. Welcome to episode 6 of the I Love Running podcast. Today we're going to chat about supplements and what you need to look out for. And also just some of the fundamental things regarding supplements and the related industry. The supplement industry defines a supplement as. Okay, so before we get going, you need to just have a little bit of an overview of what the sort of general consensus is with regards to a supplement. Okay, so it is a very, very vague definition. Okay, so this is the supplement industry's definition of a supplement. Dietary supplement is pretty much anything that is defined as a product that is intended to supplement the diet and contains any of the following ingredients. So it can be a vitamin, a mineral, a herb or other botanical, an amino acid, a concentrate, metabolite, constituent, extract, or combination of any of the above, a substance historically used by humans to supplement the diet. Very interesting. And furthermore, it must also conform to the following criteria. It is intended for ingestion in pill, capsule, tablet, powder, or liquid form. Not represented for use as a conventional food or as the sole item of a meal or diet, and labeled as a dietary supplement. Okay, so from that explanation or that definition, that is a US definition, and most of the definitions around the world pretty much conform to the same sort of thing. All right, but as you can see, that is super wide. Okay, so pretty much anything can be regarded as a supplement. So you could get a piece of bark from a tree, grind it up, put it in a pill, call it a dietary supplement, and there you have it. You could be making millions. Right, okay, maybe not like that, but yeah, you know, I mean, from that definition, pretty much anything goes. All right, so that's why it is really important to try and understand the industry. And also, you know, it is such a huge industry at the moment. So it is growing year on year, and supplements are just getting bigger and bigger, and vitamins, minerals, and specifically the dietary supplements, and now also the sports side of things are just growing exponentially. So it's a $1 billion industry around the world, and with more money comes more marketing. More subtle marketing and very, very sneaky or clever ways of marketing. But I suppose that's with any industry. But obviously with dietary stuff, it can be a little bit more dangerous to do that. So if you are a recreational athlete or a professional athlete, you really need to know how the whole, you know, game works. Okay, and very much so if you are a professional athlete, because I mean, you know, with that wide definition, you can get into trouble. Okay, so just another interesting thing about supplements. Generally, you know, people think that you can take a supplement and it's really healthy and it can take over. So if you have deficiencies or you're not eating well, you can just take a supplement and everything will be solved. But it's really not the case. Okay, so you can't substitute a poor diet with supplements. It just doesn't work. All right, you need to make sure that your diet is healthy and that you are eating well, especially if you are trying to improve your performance with running. You need to have a very good diet. And then in that sense, you know, if you are eating a healthful diet, it's less likely that you do need to take supplements. All right. But studies have actually shown that supplement users and physically active people are much less likely to need supplements, as they are more likely to implement healthful choices and lifestyles in the first place. So people that are running a few times a week, generally, you'll find that those kinds of people, so like us runners, you should be trying to implement a healthy lifestyle anyway. So it's a catch-22 in a way, because the healthier the individual, the more likely they are to take supplements, wanting to take supplements, vitamins, proteins, and all of that, because they are trying to get the most out of their diet. But then again, if your diet is healthy, it's very unlikely that you need all the extra stuff. So you could be you know, spending your money on food. You know, you don't have to spend your money on supplements because often they are unnecessary, and then, you know, it's a bit of a crude way to think of it. But if you're taking excess vitamins, it's just expensive wee at the end of the day. All right, so if you think about it objectively, I mean, if you are eating a healthy diet and you're exercising a lot, it's less likely that you need loads of vitamins. You might need to add one or two things if you are exercising a lot, but it really isn't completely necessary to, you know, get a million types of supplements and keep supplementing, you know, because often people think, you know, like I said, you take a few things and it's really going to improve your performance, but they don't look at the big picture. You always need to look at the big picture. Because if you think about your performance or your training and all of that as a pyramid, at the bottom, your training makes up your biggest building block, okay? And then the next one up is your nutrition, so your general nutrition. You need to make sure that that's also a major component. And then your rest, so your recovery and your rest is also a huge factor in improving your performance, because you need to rest to be able to... to adapt and to grow and to strengthen. And then the cherry on the top is really supplements and really making the slightest changes. But your main things to improve your performance are to train correctly and to have a proper training plan in place, to eat correctly in general, so your diet as a whole needs to be good, because that's really going to make a massive difference. And then to rest and recover properly, so not overtraining, and obviously not undertraining. So that's the first block. But your third block, you don't overtrain as well, because that will affect your performance. And then, you know, the small changes as we get up the pyramid, they'll make a tiny difference. But, you know, those three, training, nutrition, and rest, those are your three main things that you want to look out for. Now, having said all that, you know, what's the big deal? You know, take a few supplements, just add them to your diet. Yeah, it's going to help me with my performance and all of that. Yeah, that's the general idea. But I mean, what's the harm in taking a few supplements and making sure I get everything? All right, this is where the problem lies. And this is a major problem with the supplement industry. There is no regulation. All right, so this is where you have to be careful, especially if you are a professional athlete. You need to make sure... you know, that you're checking the labels and that you're finding out from a credible source about what's going on with the supplements. Because if you get tested and you get caught with a banned substance, I mean, no one's going to care, because they're going to think you test positive, that you're doping, you know, and it ultimately it does lie on you, and it is your responsibility to get all the information. Okay, so how it works is, because supplements aren't a drug, they are a subcategory of food, they aren't you know, subject to stringent regulations, like I said. Okay, so pretty much no regulation at all, actually. It's quite simple to get a dietary supplement out there. All right, so with drugs, you know, they have to do trials, they have to do tests, they have to be pre-approved before they can go to market. Okay, with supplements, it's the other way around. It's a very reactionary system. Okay, so with supplements, you develop something and you can get it to the market. And just as long as you, you know, you stick to sort of the guidelines, you'll be fine. Yeah, but like studies that they've seen is, even within batches of some supplements, there are different products, you know, so the same product, just a different batch, they've found that the ingredients are different. Okay, so as long as they put a little disclaimer on it, you know, they can pretty much get away with anything. Not saying that they are all sinister like that, it's just the nature of the industry. Okay, so it is just one of the problems with the industry. So they supplements can't claim to prevent or cure anything, but they can make structure and function claims. Okay, so like, you know, this supplement may help with bone density, but they can't say that this supplement will cure osteoporosis or osteopenia. All right, so that's just a way of getting around it. But again, I mean, the marketing is so good and the pictures and the and all of that is so good that, you know, you sort of led into believing that these kinds of supplements will help you with muscle mass and all of that. And they, you know, so only after the fact can you sort of take a supplement off the market. So if it's got a false claim on it, you can then take it to a board, but it's a long process, and it's, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to do. All right. There is a guy out there called Dr. Harris Steinman. He does that quite a lot, which is fantastic, and he really tries to protect consumers. But again, it's one guy versus a whole industry, but he does a fantastic job. And another misconception is that all dietary supplements are safe. You know, that again is not entirely true. So some supplements can increase your risk for toxicities. Often people, you know, like I said, replace food with supplements, so there's a reduction in fiber and many of the beneficial properties, you know, like phytochemicals, and obviously the feeling of eating food is also very beneficial to psychologically. So I mean, drinking supplements all the time is not always an ideal situation, and then you are you know, like in society, we should be sitting down and eating and all of that and interacting with people. So you are skipping that out, but that's also a different problem altogether because of the fast pace of our lifestyles today. But in general, science-based health authorities make it very clear that individuals or people eating a varied and healthful diet should meet all their nutrient requirements from food, and shouldn't need, you know, a whole lot of supplements. Okay, but with us runners, it is often easier to take supplements in, and it's just more practical. So that's why I'm just giving you some background about the industry. But you can use supplements to your advantage. So when you're on the road doing longer runs, that's where it makes a big difference, you know. So you want to be taking the right kinds of things. All right. So again, there's good things and bad things, but in general, if your diet is good, you only need maybe one or two things to help you. You know, like I said, it's a top of the pyramid to help you to make those small changes that will lead to a difference. But first things first, you need to get your diet in the right place, and then you need to worry about supplements. Okay. So supplements for running. Okay, what is the deal here? Right. So supplements for running or endurance sports. You need to, first things first, is practice, practice, practice. Do not use something on race day. So on Comrades, or, you know, when you're doing a Two Oceans or a marathon or a 21, don't use something that you've never used before, because there is a chance that you will, you know, get an upset stomach, or it might not work for you, you might feel sick. So the thing is, practice during your training. So try and train how you're going to race. I mean, obviously it's not always practical, because you don't have people seconding you when you're training, unless you're like a high-end professional athlete. But for the rest of us, it's not always going to be practical, but you can still take stuff before and after and see how that goes. Okay. All right. So also, when you are at races, you can use what's on the table to your advantage. So like I mentioned in the first podcast about nutrition during running, for endurance sport, you want to be replacing 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour after the first hour of running. So generally on the tables, every 3Ks or so at races, you've got water, Coke, or Energade or Powerade kind of thing. Okay, so if you don't have someone seconding you, or, you know, like for most of us, we don't have that, that will also be sufficient. I mean, you can take other things with you, which does help. So you can take, you know, jellies with you, goos with you. But again, if you've only got Energade and Coke, that is also a good option. You just need to make sure that you are drinking enough of it, because what a lot of people do is they don't stop and they only take the water. Again, you need the carbohydrates to help with performance. Okay, so now which supplements do you go for? Because there are quite a few out there, but they all sort of, you know, most of the supplements have, you know, a similar effect, and there are a few main ones. Okay, so with sports supplements, you get your protein supplements. Okay, don't worry too much about those for endurance sports. You know, on a long run or whatever, you more mainly need something with carbohydrates in it, and ideally with a little bit of protein, you know, to help with protein recovery and muscle breakdown and all of that. Okay. Right. So, just pure protein products. I mean, you don't want to take away protein as your, you know, as your supplement for a long run or long endurance event. And also, you don't you need the carbohydrates, you know, to get back into your system. So, if you haven't listened to podcast number one, then go have a listen to that, because that explains quite a bit more in detail about why you need carbohydrates specifically. And also there is a handout or a guide on the I Love Running website. Okay, so there are then, with regards to carbohydrate supplements or the endurance supplements, that's what they should call them, or that's what they do call them. You have either the high GI products or the low GI products. Okay, so high GI products are ideally what you want to be getting. Okay, so most of the endurance supplements will be supplying the sugar or the carbohydrates that your cells need while you're exercising at a high intensity, very quickly. Okay, so it goes into your bloodstream quickly. You know, you don't really have to worry about, you know, the sugar spike or whatever, because your body will be using up that sugar, and your body needs that sugar immediately. Okay, so there are quite a few things now, low GI products, but okay, so if you think about it, a low GI product, in theory, I suppose, is good. However, in practical terms, you know, when you're exercising, what happens is your body needs that sugar. Okay, so once you have depleted your stores of sugar, so your glucose and your glycogen from your muscles and your liver, you need to replace that, okay, as quickly as possible. All right, so now the theory with the low GI products are that you are releasing sugar throughout your endurance event. Okay, fair enough. Okay, sounds like a good idea. But if you are releasing sugar very slowly, you know, like having a low GI product, what happens is only a little bit of sugar or a little bit of glucose is reaching your bloodstream, okay, when your muscles are screaming for sugar and they need the sugar to process it for energy and to produce ATP, which is your energy production molecules. You know, you don't want a tiny bit when you actually need a lot, okay? So in that sense, you know, that whole low GI thing is flawed. Okay, you need a whack of sugar essentially, or glucose, for exercising muscles. Okay, right. So just be careful of that. There are a few products that are being marketed quite well and quite aggressively, but just bear in mind, you know, physiology is physiology, and you can't get around that. Okay, so you need to look at for something that is you know, a high GI product always going to give you your sugar immediately. And ideally, you also want, you know, if you're doing longer stuff, you want to have something with a bit of protein in it. So, I mean, if you can get something with protein that's been hydrolyzed, or, you know, like there's other casein or whey protein. But, you know, unless you, like, you know, super high-end athlete, it probably won't make such a huge difference. As long as you are getting that protein in. So about ideally between 10 to 20 grams of protein. It's not 100% essential during your race, but afterwards for recovery, try and get that in. A lot of the supplements now do have protein and carbs in them in the right form. So, you know, so that's great, you know, so. Hammer Nutrition do a good job, and so do Pepto Pro, which I really like. Again, with Pepto Pro, they are a South African based company, and they also send their supplements off for testing, and they're part of the Informed Sport or the Informed Choice, you know, so they do send the stuff off for testing, so 100% sure that their stuff is fine. All right, there's just the two types. At this stage, you know, most of the products will be high GI, or the new thing now is low GI. Just be wary of the low GI stuff, okay? And they'll try and spin it with their marketing, but, you know, the science and the physiology says you need the high GI products with a bit of protein, okay? And not the low GI stuff, because you'll only be getting that sugar, you know, a little bit throughout the race, which is not ideal. And also, you know, you'll only actually start if your race is 3 hours, you know, low GI product will eventually start giving you the sugar afterwards, you know. So it's not ideal. It might be okay, you know, for the pre-event supplement or like the night before, but I mean during the race or during your training, not ideal. And also again after your training, definitely not a low GI product. You want to be taking in a high GI product so that the sugar goes back into your muscles, you store more glycogen for your next event, and then also you are replacing all the sugar that you have lost. Okay, so that's the main crux of everything. All right. So that's it for today. Just a general overview of supplements and what you should be looking out for. If you have more questions and want some specific things, please email me. Either on Lungile Health or I Love Running, you know, you can post a comment. But otherwise, yeah, just give me a shout, because then I can do something more specific. But just today was just a general overview of the industry and what is actually happening, and just to give you a better idea. But we will see you guys either on the trails or on the road, or at Jump City, 22nd of June, which is going to be an awesome event. So try and make it for that. Really, really cool urban obstacle course, which is a lot of fun. Right, cheers.